If you've been a part of our congregation over the past few years, you know that we preach the Bible as story. And so we try to encourage week after week as we preach and teach and invite you to enter into the world of the text and then let your lives, our lives, be animated, inspired, moved by the Spirit to then live out the story of God through our lives from what we've learned as we've gathered around the Word week after week. So this week's story is the woman in the Gospel of John who anoints Jesus' feet. And so this beautiful story that's filled with this beautiful fragrance. And it's called nard or costly ointment or perfume, depending on what translation. But it's probably an ointment called spikenard. And so I have some spikenard here mixed with olive oil. And I know that some people are scent averse, and so you won't want to slather this over your hands. But if you want to enter into this story with another part of your senses, you can just rub this oil on your hand, or maybe if you've got bags in your eyes, you might just rub it under your eyes or something like that, so that you just have a bit of a whiff. But if someone near you is scent averse, maybe they'll poke you and say, hey, don't do that because you're going to drive me crazy. So maybe check with your neighbor whether they're scent averse or not, or sensitive to scents, before you slather it on. So I'm going to pass one to the choir and platform people, and I'll start one here. And there are some upstairs, I think, already set up for the balcony dwellers. There you go. And I'll take this one to the back and it can move forward. So this is 1/20th the power of what might pure spikenard might be like. So imagine that wafting through the air in this story that we enter into today. Of his last week of ministry on earth. He's unhurried, thoughtful, he's intentional, and he wants to be with his very best friends. He's in Bethany, a few kilometers from the hustle and bustle of Jerusalem, and he arrives at Lazarus' house. It's a middle-class abode with dusty floor, large olive wood table in the front family room, woven mats placed on the ground. And Jesus and a few of his disciples gather around the table with Lazarus and a few members of his extended family, and the smell in the air is lamb stew. Martha is hard at work. She's proud of one of her best family recipes and is excited to share this meal with friends. The flatbread and the hummus appetizer are already out, and the conversation is fairly lively. People looking around the room at one another, some of them marveling that Lazarus is there. Was it just a week ago that Lazarus walked out of his burial tomb? Some wonder. What an emotional roller coaster it's been for this group of friends. And today is a day to celebrate and be glad, but there's also this air of reflection and pensiveness around. Gladness and sadness, sorrow and joy mingle together as they break bread, as they pour out wine for one another. Enter into the story. In first century houses, these disciples and friends wouldn't be sitting around table on chairs, but would be sitting on the floor, leaning on one another around a large table. Mary quietly enters the room from a corridor behind Lazarus and the house guests. Jesus is sitting on the ground, legs extended, leaning back and leaning against the beloved disciple John, against his chest and his shoulders. Mary uncorks a clay jar of aromatic ointment and pours a pound's worth into her hands, and then begins spreading it and massaging it on Jesus' feet and shins and calves. There's so much flowing out of the jar that it starts to ooze upon the floor mats, and Mary realizes that she's forgotten a towel, so she reaches up and lets down her long brown hair. Her hair unravels at the feet of Jesus, and she begins wiping Jesus' feet, sopping up the oil with her hair, and so her hair and feet, his feet, glisten with this oil that is poured out. This sweet, musky, woodsy, earthy fragrance fills the room. Mary's weeping. She's overcome with emotion, devotion for her friend, longing to show him how much she cares and loves him. Her tears, ointment, mingling together, and after what seems to be this long, maybe awkward, one-sided exchange, the room becomes eerily silent. What's going on here? No one dares to speak. And what would possess Mary to bring out this ointment that we were supposed to use for the burial prep of Lazarus last week, but fortunately didn't need to, and then recklessly pour it out on Jesus' feet? This is not cheap stuff, not bought at the local copper coin store. This is nard, imported from the Himalayas, walked by foot out of the Himalayan mountains to Bethany. Only royalty pay for this stuff. A laborer would have to pay a year's wage. And that's exactly where Judas' mind is going. The dollar signs flipping through his brain. That's $15,000. What are you doing, woman? Have you no shame? Acting like a common prostitute? Why wasn't this perfume sold for $15,000? And the money given to the poor? You ignorant, short-sighted woman, wasting it on the feet of the teacher. More silence. Everyone frozen in their places, holding their breath, waiting for someone to make a move or say a word. Jesus, with a stern but heart-full stare, looks at Judas in his condescending glare. He lifts his hand and declares, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it and even use it today for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." I want you to breathe in and smell that aroma. And continue to try to live in the world of this text. And how might the Spirit be inviting you and inviting us to live? If you were here last week, you heard me share the FBC Let Us Be's. And one of the Let Us Be's was, let us be more Jesus-y and less Pharisee. And if we play that out a bit with today's story, let us be more Mary-y and less Judas-y. Think and imagine that scent-filled space that reeks of lavish, wasteful reckless love. And what's the phrase that comes to your mind? Is it extravagant devotion? Perhaps it is wasteful worship. Perhaps it's lavish love. I want to jot down how the Spirit might be moving. What's a one or two word phrase that's coming to your mind other than lavish love? Wasteful worship. Anyone?
Sweet devotion. Thank you.
Joyful celebration.
Joyful celebration. Is the Spirit moving in the choir loft? Abundance. Great word. Just a couple more. Sheer adoration. Thank you. Selflessness. Good. Selflessness, abundance, sweet devotion, joyful celebration, sheer adoration, lavish love. Let's allow these images and these phrases push back against those places of our hearts where we're tempted to be like Judas. There are, of course, places where we need to be wise, prudent, to be the bean counter. But in the way of Jesus, in the way of living out the heart of Jesus, there's no bean counting here. There's no tight-fistedness. There's no scrimping. It's outrageous. It's wasteful. It's reckless. And so as we walk through the final quarter of the Lenten journey, let our lives and our nostrils be filled with these images. It's not so that we can get to a happily ever after ending and feel good about ourselves because everything works out, because we know in the story, for Mary and for Jesus, things get bad. Bad news abounds in Mary's story. Bad news abounds in Jesus' story. He's just 6 days away from his final breath. But the good news is that in the midst of darkness or scarcity or death and despair, the good news is that Christ is with us, the abiding companion. And in the midst of our many, many needs, there will be enough to go around. In your bulletins today, there's this blue insert from one of our favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, and I invite you to look at that and pray with me or use it devotionally in the days ahead as we close our time together in today's story. Barbara Taylor counts Mary as a prophet who uses her life as an object lesson to offer hope in the midst of impending doom. We read together, Mary gives the forecast, it will be bad, very bad. But that's no reason for Jesus' friends to lock their hearts and head to the cellar. Whatever they need, there will be enough to go around. Whatever they spend, there will be plenty left over. There is no reason to fear running out of nard or of life, either one. For where God is concerned, there is always more than we can ask or imagine. Gifts from our lavish, lavish Lord. Maybe post that on your fridge or your mirror this week as a promise for these final days of Lent. May we encounter this lavish love of the Lord in these days. And you might not be in a place where you can really feel it or smell it. And that's why one of the let us be's from last week was let us be community. Some of us come with very little faith into this place today. Some of us come with lots of faith, but we're in this together, trying to see, trying to smell that grace, that generosity, that providence that does not run dry. And may we encourage each other with phrases that echo this go out on a limb faith of Mary. Might we say, there will be enough to go around. There will be enough to go around. And I don't know what that enough of you need this week, but maybe it's grace, or maybe it's mercy, or maybe it's forgiveness, or maybe it's hope, or maybe it's love. There will be enough to go around. Can we say that together? There will be enough to go around. Why don't you turn to someone near you and say, there will be enough to go around. We do this in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, our lavish Lord. Will you pause in prayer with me as we continue to live into and out of today's story? I invite you to become aware of God's loving presence. What in God's word or story has caught your heart's attention this morning? And for just 30 or 40 seconds, dwell on that word or phrase that catches your eye or moves your heart. Pray your life to God and rest in God's presence. Let's pray silently together. Blessed Lord, help us as your daughters and sons. Take heart, breathe deeply, and as a people who are lavishly loved, may we recklessly and wastefully pour out your grace and mercy on one another and on to those people and places where we will be sent this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, O community of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.